If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Time for our Thursday chat with Richard Roper. Richard, good morning. Let's talk first about the house that finally was sold last December that once belonged to Michael Jordan.
Yeah, that's right. And by the way, I'm using a launch angle on the microphone now of 36.2 degrees, and I'm going more omnidirectional than unidirectional. That's just because of the stats. I just follow the metrics. So Michael Jordan's house, as you know, it was on sale for 13 years, right? They kept lowering the price. That's how long he played with the Bulls, I believe, as well. And they finally sold it last December. Mm-hmm. I think it fell from like $24 million to somewhere around $9 million. And now they're doing this Airbnb thing. You can get it for a week. There are a lot of restrictions here. They don't want, you know, craziness up there. So I think there's a limit at like 12 guests. The price is like six figures, though, to stay there. You get the basketball court. He's got a putting green. And of course, you know, you've seen the famous gate with 23 on mm-hmm. it, you know, but you'd have the privacy. But I mean, even if for the uber wealthy, what's the big, I mean, Michael slept there, I guess, hung out there.
Maybe it's the 17 and a half bathrooms.
Just try them all.
I don't know. But they say it's limited to 12 guests, but you've got to have $25,000 as a security deposit.
Well, they think they're afraid people will be, digging up a piece of the court. By the way, if you see the photos, his basketball court is nicer than, like, most high school basketball courts. I mean, it's regulation. It's an amazing place. I always love this about Michael, too, because, you know, he became, of course, one of the most famous people in the world. It was very hard to get to him. But he always had this kind of dichotomy early on because he put the big 23 on the gate. But please respect our privacy. And the number was, like, the size of Mount Rushmore. And in his early days as a player, he loved the Corvettes. He used to drive the Corvettes around. You'd see it, but it would say, like, Air 23, North Carolina license plates in Carolina blue. I wonder who's driving that car.
Go figure.
Fueling up at the BP on Ontario.
Maybe the reason for the big security deposit is people are thinking, if I can pry this off the wall, because these MJ auction items go for huge amounts of money.
If he just left one pair of sneakers in one of those 17 and a half bathrooms, that's what people are going to be doing. And I guarantee you the place has been scrubbed more than, like, you know, after Silkwood. You're not going to find anything that actually belonged to Michael at
this
point.
No way. Now, isn't the Home Alone house an Airbnb now?
You know, they did like a limited time thing over the holidays. The McAllister home up on the North Shore, which is famous, become a famous tourist attraction over the last 30 years. And, you know, the exterior, it's beautiful. Colonial, I think mm-hmm. they call them. All those homes in Hughes Land, as we call them, were mostly colonials, you know, where Uncle Buck watched the kids or Ferris Bueller's home. So the exterior almost looks the same, pretty much the same. They've got a gate around it, but you could stay there, and they kind of tricked it up with some of the props and everything. I always remind people, too, it's like, you know, the actual Home Alone home was a soundstage at, I think it was the former New Trier High School. And the Breakfast Club library was Main North. You know, they build these sets. They did shoot a little of Home Alone there. But, you know, okay, you want to stay at the Home Alone home. Kind of fun.
I, once in a while, ride my bicycle with my wife up that way. Mm. And there's never a time I don't see a crowd in front of that house.
Yeah, and, you know, for the owners, because as you know, it's not like the Michael Jordan estate where it's set back on this huge lot. It's in a neighborhood. And, you know, you also see around Thanksgiving, I want to say it's Evanston, I'm not positive, but the street where Steve Martin and John Candy walked with the trunk at the end of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles uh-huh. there, you know, Del Griffith, you know, we found out he didn't have anywhere to go, Bob. It's just, oh, man,
so
that
sad.
Gets me every time.
Who really would want to stay at this Silence of the Lambs house?
Yeah, that's a relatively new one. Buffalo Bill's home, his house. I guess it wasn't really a home. I guess you really couldn't call it a home. You know,
a little creepy.
It was kind of a no Airbnb for the guests there. But that house in Pennsylvania, which was actually used as a filming location, and they've done the same thing. They've got, you know, scary little moments. It's almost like one of those spooky houses they do for like Halloween. You know, where you go in there,
sure.
And you want to get scared, and it's kind of got that atmosphere.
I guess that's when people would want to have a party there. there or something.
Yeah, you know, just do a whole tour.
You're the right guy to explain this to me, being a White Sox fan. ESPN has been called out for overlooking the 2005 World Series champions. Why? What happened? I'm not familiar with this.
Yeah, it's an ongoing thing where over the years, one time they did a graphic where they listed all the Chicago sports championships since the 85 Bears, and they mentioned the Blackhawks and the Bulls and the Cubs and didn't mention the Sox. And then when we lost, you know, Bobby Jenks, the tragic loss of Bobby Jenks, the tweet from ESPN said he was on the roster of the 2005 champion. I'm going, he was on the mound when they clinched the championship. You know, he had two saves in the World Series.
Integral member of the team.
And then the MLB draft was just the other day, and it's, I think, Chris Burke, who was on the Astros, and they put up a graphic saying, member of the 2005 World Series champion Astros. And A.J. Brzezinski was like, they didn't win a game! So I do, and listen, as a Sox fan, Bob, you and I have talked about this. Do Sox fans have a chip on their shoulder about the Cubs? Yes, we do.
Rightly so.
But it's rightly so. There's so much romanticizing. You know, the 69 Cubs lost by like eight games. The 67 White Sox were much closer. And we just don't get that kind of, the 2005 team doesn't, you know, first championship in 88 years for the World Series for this. And listen, it was a big deal, but you know, I always make the point, too, a lot of it has to do when Harry Caray left the White Sox for the Cubs and became a national thing. But the White Sox are really the team that has the most heartbreak and drama. We're the only team. The White Sox are the only team that literally gave away a World Series, right? 1919 Black Sox. And, you know, 1994, one of the best teams in baseball. What happens? There's a strike and the season gets canceled. So the White Sox have this lore that I... Bob, who walks out of the cornfield in Field of Dreams? Is it Tinker? Tinkers or Evers or Chance? No!
Point well taken.
It's Shoeless Joe Jackson. We need more respect for the lore of the eight men out. The 2005 White Sox, 94, 67, all those teams.
It wasn't always that way. I, as a kid, going to Wrigley Field, nobody was there. Upper deck closed. Didn't have enough people. It really was Wrigleyville coming into its own as a hip neighborhood that, don't you think, led to a lot of this romanticism more for the Cubs than the Sox?
100%. It's cyclical, though, as you mentioned, because for a long time, even if you go back to the 90s and those powerful White Sox teams, they were kind of the place to be. But let's give credit to the Ricketts family, what they've done with Wrigleyville, where they've optimized the commercial possibilities with the hotels and the new bars and the restaurants and everything, but still kept the charm. Yeah. You know this, right? When you walk in, it still looks like Wrigley Field and still feels like Wrigley Field.
White Sox championship in 59. With the World Series team, that was at that time, I think it was a Sox town, wasn't it?
I think it was for sure, because there were so many good teams in the 50s and then the Go-Go Sox in the 60s. And then, again, you know, they had some, you know, they had the Southside Hitmen, which were a big deal in the 70s. And as you mentioned, you know, the rooftops at Wrigley used to be, you know, it was just like two guys in tube socks with a, you know, a cooler of Budweiser and a couple of rats. You know, that was about it. And they've, again, they've turned it into this great, it's a Disneyfied, but it still has kept, I think, the legacy. And they've done a better job than the White Sox have with that.
59, the Dodgers did win, didn't
yes.
they?
Yes. Sox won the first game, I think, 11, mm-hmm. zip, and it looked great. And then it was downhill from there.
All right. So Andy, you want to weigh in? Why doesn't ESPN do a 30 for 30 on the 2005 White Sox?
They should. I mean, I don't see any reason why the worldwide leader in sports should be shunning a Chicago team. First of all, it's not like it's, you know, No offense, but it's not like Pittsburgh.
And Andy, as you know, there were so many great storylines with that team. You know, a bunch of characters. They didn't have like these Hall of Fame type players. You know, you look at the 2016 Cubs. It was a more talented team. People say which team was better. But, you know, that 11-1 run in the playoffs, the four complete games.
That was
in
it. The pitching was ridiculous.
I mean, you're never going to see that again.
You know, a lot of the 69 love has to do with the fact that those guys were really part of the community. Most of them lived here. Yeah, they stayed here. Yeah. So you have that as well.
Yeah, that's true. And you see to this day, once in a while, you'll see Cubs players who ride their bike to the game, or you know, you see them walking up. They do seem a little more accessible for whatever reason.
All right, fellow Cub fans, we've given the Sox enough time here. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.